We're versatile, yeah. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Verse 11. Ecclesiastes 9:11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. For man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. This wisdom I have also seen under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it, besieged it, and built great snares around it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no one remembered that same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard, rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful that we know about wisdom, because it is not up to us to decide what is wise and what is not wise in the moral sense. Lord, for a person to say this is the wise way, and we hear a lot in our society, this is the wise way for humans to be, and often it is not only wise, it is unwise, it is immoral and wicked and evil. And so, Lord, we thank you for a declaration of what is wise so that we might be led in that path. Thank you for Solomon and his words and his wisdom. Guide our thinking, we pray tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Should you be rich? Should you be wealthy? I mean you. I mean, think about it, because there are a lot of wealthy people that we would say should not be wealthy. So would you be a better rich person than they are? George Soros is very commonly named in the news. He's a Democratic supporter. He is pushing for open borders, and he sends a lot of money to Democrats and supported a lot of Hillary Clinton causes in the last election. I would say he's got too much money. Bill Gates, I forget, last time I heard he had $100 billion, and I'm sure it fluctuates a lot. But he's rich, and he pours his efforts into several things, some I'm sure are worthy, one of which is called Common Core, which I think is not very worthy, and an educational system which ends up being more compromise to a lot of the child's education. Hollywood celebrities are rich. I mean, we've always said, why does that person have all that? And here I am, and I'm seeing through the floor of my truck into the road. I mean, why do they have all these nice cars? And when I don't. And Hollywood celebrities, I don't begrudge them having the money. They've earned the money. They were given the money from the work they do. Fine. But you know, you got to look and say, why does that person have so much money? And then they come around and tell us how we're to think and what we're to support. And they fly around the country and tell us how we should conserve carbon dioxide emissions. And we get kind of sick of it. There's a lottery winners are often the worst. I read about a man who won the lottery and bought a bunch of cars and a bunch of houses. Now, cars and houses people generally buy with lottery money. But he bought a bunch of cars, a bunch of houses, took the cars that he bought, and did a demolition derby in the yards of the houses he bought. And needless to say, he soon ran out of all his money. So I really think everybody in this room would be better being rich than probably the majority of people that are rich in this world right now. Of course, it can mess you up, but I don't think it would you. But you see in this text here what is happening in the world. In verse 11, one of the phrases is that riches do not come just to men of understanding. I put a few words in there. He looks at what's under the sun, verse 11. This is where we live. And he sees something that's wrong. Now, vanity in Ecclesiastes means that things don't last, things that you hope in and enjoy and care for and love. But it also speaks of a futility in the world itself, that the rivers flow and fill up the ocean. The ocean's never full. It flows back to the rivers. Everything's in a circle. And that there is futility. And things are not what should be, but they are what they are. And things are wasted on the unworthy. And the worthy don't have things. Righteously, the people who should have money, it says in verse 11, men of understanding. The lottery was won by a man who bought houses and crashed his brand new cars in the backyard in a demolition derby by a man not of understanding. And so why them? Why don't we walk in our backyard one day and just stumble over something, trip over something, look down there, and it's a corner of a treasure chest sticking out of the ground. And we dig around in and pull it up, it's just full of gold. Why don't we do that? Sometimes it happens to people. Somebody would clear out their garage and find a painting worth millions of dollars. How many of you have done that? It just doesn't happen very often, and then to people that we wonder why it happens to them. Well, notice the list there in verse 11. In our world, the race is not to the swift. Now, that does not mean that fast people can't beat us in a race, but that those who race are not necessarily the swiftest ones. It would be expected, if you're going to have a race, let's get the fastest people. It doesn't always work out that way. Nor the battle to the strong. Sometimes you would think the strong would always win the battle. It is not the case. It can go to even people who are weaker. For example, people in a fortified city who are weak can hold out against strong people. So you can't figure that the swiftest person is going to win the race. You ever heard of the tortoise and the hare? Who should have won? The hare. Well, it doesn't always work out that way. And that was the hare's fault. But that's the way it happens. And the battle, not always to the strong, nor bread to the wise. People who are wise should never go hungry. That should be one of the benefits. If you're a wise man, you shouldn't have any problem, if you think about it, with having bread. But often, most foolish people, they're well fed, and the wise can go hungry. What, have you ever seen parents with kids in public and say those parents should never have had children? Never have had children. And yet other couples can't have children. They'd be great parents. riches to men of understanding. You never do that. They never say, listen, before we pay you $100 million to do this movie, are you a man of understanding? They don't ask that. It just goes to all kinds of people. Nor favor to men of skill. Sometimes a person who's the best for the job because of certain relationships that someone else has gets the job rather than the man of skill. And you might say, I study, go to school, get a good education, and look over there. Somebody who got an eighth grade education, they're making twice as much as I do. That's just not right. Well, it's not right. Well, it's not wrong necessarily, but it doesn't seem to fit. We've been told you get a good education, get a good college education, you get a good job. I think probably 50% of college education, college graduates of recent times are probably unemployed in this economy. So it doesn't happen. You can't sit and figure it out based upon pure logic and morality. Jesus came. Jesus should have been supported. Jesus should have been praised. Jesus should have been certainly not opposed. And you know what happened? Opposed all over the place. Shouldn't have been on the cross. Of course, it had to be for the plan of God, but from the sake of man, it should never have been. It's just not right. So, you see, this is the world we live in. In this vain world, things are happening that are unexpected and undeserved against what we would expect to happen. You can go back to the election. You think that the people running, that they all should have run? I'm fine with our new president-elect, but wouldn't it be great if they let us pick the candidates every election? And if we didn't pick them, just the ones in this room, if we didn't pick them, they didn't get to run, they didn't get to be in office. Boy, we'd have a time, wouldn't we? We'd come together. We'd be laughing when we came in the door. It'd be so much fun, but we don't get that opportunity. Other people do that. And I often wonder why people do the things they did. I got upset. You know, Coke was always, I used to like Coke a lot. Coke, that nice green bottle and that. Yeah, it tasted really good. And then they said, this is selling so much, this is making so much money, this is so popular, we need to change it. And they did. And they had that big thing, I forget when it was, in the 70s or 80s or something. I mean, but the new Coke, people going, what was that? And I think the big thing is they took cocaine out of it. My granddad said it was better back then when it had cocaine. And so you just say, why did they change that? Get a ginger ale today. Oh, it's so weak. You get a ginger ale when I was a kid. 6 years old, I had hair on my chest all up and down. It was heavy stuff. So people are fixing what's not broken. They're messing up what's working out. And that's part of the vain world in which we live. It's not to discourage us from being as swift as we can be, or to be understanding, or to be skillful, or to be strong, but it just says that things are not always going to happen the way that we want them to. I mean, all those girls at Columbia Bible College, why did Cindy get that man and not me? I mean, you can imagine that. You men know the women have said how blessed your wife is to call you, and why couldn't they? You see, this is the world we live in. And it's not meted out according to what would seem to be the best criteria. So you've got things that could be unfair. And you cannot live in this world if you can't live with unfair. Because there's a lot of unfair in this world. There is a lot that just is not right. And if something unfair really gets to you, you will not be able to live the Christian life in this world. You're going to be down all the time. You're going to be depressed, angry, disillusioned, hopeless. Well, there's no use even doing anything. It's not fair. That's not going to work out. Somebody else will get it. You can't do that. And so Solomon tells us about it. I mean, he's telling us about it so we'll be wise. He's pushing wisdom on us so that we do not fall into a pit. He's telling us so that when we come to it, we keep going. Not that we stop. Son, you're going to play football. You're going to be a halfback. I'm just going to tell you right now, sometimes somebody's going to tackle you. What, Dad? What? That's right. You're going to be running with the ball, trying to get a touchdown, and somebody's going to come up and they're going to tackle you and throw you to the ground and stop you. I can't believe it. Now, what are you going to do when that happens? Well, I'm going to quit. No, son, you're not going to quit. You're going to get up and go back and do it again. And keep doing it until they can't catch you and you get in the end zone or whatever. So you see, this is a very practical thing. Now, it should be, in our world, the people with the biggest brains and the highest IQs are the most righteous, biblical people. Is that true? Scientists today, the vast majority, probably 90%+ of scientists in our day believe that matter is eternal. Matter has just always been here. It was a little bitty tiny Super Bowl kind of thing. It was so condensed, and it finally blew up. It was the Big Bang blew up, and just like when we blow things up on July 4th, sometimes when the fireworks go off, a toaster will land right by it, and you can take it in and toast some bread with it. So they say that the Big Bang, it blows up, and look what happens. The Big Bang, it got so condensed, and it got so much in there, and finally it blew up and Best Buy came out of it. So this is what people believe, and they believe in natural selection. They believe in evolution, that we come from simple to complex life forms by chance, by just natural actions in nature, that we learned by our stomach has a lining because our stomachs learned that it needed something to deal with the acids that were given out in digestion. Until we learned that, we ate something, and those digestive acids in our tummy just shot right through our stomach and made a hole, and our body said, wait a minute, now we got to fix that. So over time, after so many generations of holy stomachs, finally we got something to guard against that. This is the thinking. It's foolish that you would never get any kind of intelligent life from nothing, not to mention where the eternal matter came from. We're all awash and have been for some time. I hope President Trump stops it. He said it was stupid. And I agree with him, this global warming climate change doctrine. It is loony. That men doing things is going to bring the planet down. And I notice that people love the planet more than they love people. You don't want to bother people. You don't bother the planet, but people you can abort. But the planet, you need to take care of. I'm all for taking care of the planet. It's foolish destruction of things. Nobody's for that. But the thought that we drive our cars and all that, I think it's like 1 or 2% of what is added to the carbon footprint of our land. And there's a lot you can read about this. It's accurate. But you got a bunch of scientists who could talk us silly about technical things and scientific things and theories, and they would amaze us with their intellect, and they don't know these things that seem so obvious. That it's not a scientific thing. And now you could go on and on. If you're a white person, you're supposed to feel guilty about that. Because you've been privileged. And if you're an American, you're supposed to feel guilty. America's been blessed. So you should feel bad about that. And if you don't feel bad about that, you should feel bad about not feeling bad about that. Because we've got things that people over there in India don't have. You know why people in India are hungry? It has nothing to do with the lack of food, although there's so many people that's bound to be an issue. People in India have been misled by Eastern doctrines that say things like those cows that walk down the street, you can't eat those. Because that might be your Uncle Jed. And you don't need Uncle Jed because Uncle Jed's working out his karma. Uncle Jed, because of things he did when he was Uncle Jed, has come back as Betsy the Cow. And Betsy the Cow, he's got to work out his karma so he can get to the next level and rise up into the, you know, transcendent consciousness or whatever else and arrive at his end result. All that is false doctrine. And that's why. You know why there's so much abuse in the Catholic Church? It's evil people is part of it. These, when you hear about priests and pedophilia and stuff like that. But one core problem is because the church has taught that priests should not marry because they are wed to the church. Bible even says that there are people who forbid to marry, which is wrong, to forbid that. And so they have uncontrolled lust, and it breaks out, and you get into the monastery with that kind of thing, you got a filthy place. And that would help that get married. That's one way to deal with that. But you see, that is because of false doctrine, people don't do that. People say, oh, well, this is the same with nuns. So you see, the things that happen, people make up things that shouldn't be spoken of. And so high IQ people, often you see a person with a high IQ, they're the most foolish in some things. And this is really what he's saying here. The race is not to the swift, the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. It just happens to everybody, kind of, as far as we can see, randomly. You can't see it coming. Time and chance does not mean that God isn't sovereign, but as far as we see it, they just happen suddenly, without any warning, to good people as well as bad, to the just and the unjust. And so time and chance, it's like a passage of time and then a chance encounter, and suddenly there you are. You head off to go to work one day, and 10 minutes later you're upside down on the side of the road in a ditch. You didn't see it coming. It just, that's your thing. Nobody saw it coming. And we hope it never comes to people, but it does. So we don't know what will happen and when it will happen. God's decree is in place, but that's eternal and it's hidden from us. So just comes it, here it comes. And That's the vain world. Everything's become unhinged. Spins around randomly. Things happen that shouldn't happen. There's a good person. They won't have any problem. There's a good person. They can walk downtown tonight and not have anybody bother them. That's not, doesn't go that way. And verse 12 extends that with a few illustrations. For man also does not know his time. In other words, the time of bad fortune in this case. And we're likened to a fish, like fish taken in a cruel net. You think fish get up in the morning in Edisto River and they say, well, I'm just going to do what I always do. And they get caught in a net and they say, well, I figured that would happen. No, they don't see that coming. They just get caught. All the fish I've ever caught look surprised. They didn't know that that worm they bit into or the corn they bit into was actually hooked in there and a string attached to it. They just bit into it, expecting to eat and go have a nice nap after a good meal, and here they, before they know it, they're flapping around on the shore. And says, like birds caught in a snare, same thing. Birds going around doing what birds do, and suddenly they're caught. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. That's what else happens. You find out you're sick, you find out you're lost your job, you found out you got a bill that's due, you found out whatever it is. And it's not because you're bad, and you don't avoid it because you're good. It's just it happens the same to all. As he says in verse 12, man does not know his time. It's all things happen to everybody. The last part of verse 11, time and chance happen to them all. So the Lord will straighten all that out one day. Everything one day will be made just and right. But in this world, it's not that way. There'll be many people who are treated poorly. And you've got to deal with that. You can't react every time something doesn't go the way you want it to go and say, oh, no, and go into despair and despondency or anger or bitterness. Because it's going to happen. And telling us about it, Solomon is getting us to not be toppled down from it. If you're a bowling pin, one thing that your parents will tell you is that when you grow up, you're going to be in a place where a ball is going to smack you down. But don't get discouraged because something's going to pick you right back up again and set you back up. This is what this is for. And there's an example of it given there in verses 13 through 18. But when we understand that anything can happen, we'll look at 13 through 18 in a moment, but when we understand anything can happen, you've got to be able to deal with that. It removes this thing of presumption. You know, the Bible says we're not to boast about tomorrow, for we don't know what a day will bring forth. So presumption is saying we don't think this is going to happen to us, and it can. It also should make us always be ready for a disappointment. We should not be dismally minded. Oh, I know something bad is going to happen. I just know it. No. But we should be ready and keep our faith and be strong even if things go bad. And a person whose hope is in the world, when something happens in the world to them, it's devastating. We have got to have our hope in the Lord. When Job was assaulted, he stayed up even though it was the worst assault of anybody we know in the Scripture. And his trials were great. And what did he do? He did not lose his dignity. He kept trusting in the Lord. In the end, the Lord spoke to him and the Lord restored his fortunes. But that's because his hope was in the Lord and not in the things. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what Job said. And he weathered the storm in a godly manner. Jesus was careful to tell us to lay up our treasure in heaven, not on earth, because in heaven it's safe. On earth, thieves break in. and rust takes it over. It compels us to be urgent with the gospel, because things happen to people. We don't know when they're going to be taken from this world or become in a situation where they are devastated, and to have the strength of the Lord before that is paramount. Plus, it's eternal. It keeps us humble because it can happen to us, and it makes us vigilant and careful. Verses 13 through 18, let me read here. This city is said, verse 14, a little city with a few men and a great king comes against it and lays a siege to it and all these bulwarks around it. And there's no way the city's going to survive that. It's just a matter of time. And there was in the city, verse 15 tells us, a poor wise man who acted wisely and delivered the city. Well, it doesn't say what he did, but he delivered the city by his wisdom. And Solomon says, this is what he saw. No one remembered that same poor man. I want to know who Johnny Dodd is, because he's got roads all over named after him. Are you all over the place? He's got roads named. I don't know anything about him. Do you know who he is? He must have been something. We name things, but this man knew nothing. This man named Pitts, and they named the city Cleveland. Pittsburgh, no. You see, he's just forgotten. Verse 15, I said, wisdom is better than strength. You see, the strength of the king and the wisdom of the poor man, the wisdom of the poor man overcame the strength of the mighty. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised. His words are not heard. Okay, so what do you do with that? Well, I've seen some crying in the last week. I was watching the election coverage. Oh, one guy, CEO of a security firm here in this country, CEO, so mad at the election, he said he was going to get his rifle and lay in wait and kill President-elect Trump and put it on Twitter and boasted about it and used all kinds of threatening language and foul language. And he was going to do that. And, of course, the Secret Service came and talked to him. And he had to resign from his company. He was the CEO. Had to resign from his company. I don't know what he's going to do now. But you see, he flipped out. And he was unwise. And so it's better. You have wisdom that is better than anything like strength and riches. But it says his words are not heard. And words of the wise, verse 17, spoken quietly should be heard rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. Boy, that's true. So you can't just weep and moan and mourn when things don't go your way. It's guaranteed. Any good parent's going to tell their child this and it's not going to go well. That's one good thing about learning to play golf when you're young. It doesn't go very well at all. A lot of things. I could probably play a round of golf and hit 3, 4, 5 shots the whole round I really liked. I mean, that's how it was with golf. And we have to prepare each other and prepare our children, and church leaders have to prepare the congregation. Parents have to make sure their children understand this. It's not going to go well all the time. But it's better to be wise, even if it's not rewarded. Verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. If you're wise, you have weapons that are stronger than weapons of war. But one sinner can wipe out a whole city. country. That's why it's unwise, if you're unwise, to be the ruler of a big nation. Because if you don't act wisely, you bring a lot of destruction. And we've had a lot of that in this country. And you don't want to be answerable to that. You want to be able to lead and be wise. But this little poor man's wisdom was forgotten, but he delivered the city. But, you know, who does everybody want to be? Oh, we want to be the big ruler, the powerful, strong ruler. Well, it's better to be wise. We need to know that as Christians. People get persecuted, we don't understand it. People go through hard times who are Christians, it just doesn't make sense. You know, Hugh Hefner has millions of dollars. And what kind of life is he living? And what do? Well, I hope we can pay the bills this month. It doesn't make sense. But it's the way it is. And if we trust in the Lord and seek wisdom, it's better. Even if it's not rewarded in this world, the Lord will straighten it all out someday. Any comments you have on this?